Hello, welcome, episode 19. Did you think we'd last 19 episodes?
We're still here, we're still ticking.
Episode 19 of the Ops Team, welcome. It's the weekly show for IT professionals out there who want to know what's going on in the world of on-premises technology,
DevOps,
open source, and enterprise mobility. You may notice a few changes this week. Number one, Simon's still not here, he's on vacation. It's the longest vacation ever. Oz is in London, at DevOps Days London, I guess.
Yes, yep.
Who else are we missing? We're not missing Rick's, obviously.
He's still
gone with the wind.
We're still trying to get
still
an Azure person here.
Yeah, that would be
but
nice.
But we do have the super cool data center behind us. I mean, look at it. It's so big and long. And so therefore, you know, well, not only that because there's two of us, but also the spinner thing, it's just kind of hard. We don't want to crash the window, you know, just throw it over there and have
break
it
anything.
Break some lights or something.
No, and our normal studio that we would be in, as you know, if those who've kept up with the show, things have been being demolished around us. It's essentially just a demolished building and just our little lab now.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody took our TriCaster, so we couldn't actually record at all. So we're here in a more in a nicer setting, I think.
It's warmer in here.
Yeah, it is, absolutely,
good.
Yeah.
It's good, all the lights.
So you know what goes on with the show. We each have 5 minutes to cover our areas. I'm going to do Azure and on-prem again. It's becoming a recurring thing. Only got a few stories, so it won't be the full 10 minutes. And then David's going to cover DevOps stuff. So we'll kick off with my 5 minutes focusing on Azure stuff first. Here we go. Let me find my timer. I'm in tablet mode and everything. This is user error. I can't control it.
Do it.
Here we go. 5 minutes for me.
There we go.
Right, so 5 minutes up. A couple of items, in fact, just two. The first thing I want to tell you about is something that's incredibly valuable for you as you start your Azure experience journey, not just Azure, but a number of other cloud technologies. And that is the new, let me get the name right, IT Pro Cloud Essentials program. So that's the first program that's new, and it's free. It essentially allows you to start to utilize some cloud technology for free, get credits, get experience with those, and just get started as an IT professional. So what do we get with this new subscription? It's an annual subscription. It's free, as I said. It essentially provides IT professionals with access to cloud services, great, Azure, EMS, and a couple of others, training and support and certification. So specifically, free Azure credits to try cloud scenarios like backup, DR, security, dev tests, some of the other services that we'll talk about as we go forward as well. There's a free Plural Site subscription for online training, which is awesome if you want to further your learning in a more formalized way. Obviously, we've got things like the Microsoft Virtual Academy as well, but if you want to formalize some of that with Plural Site, that's pretty cool as well. Priority support in the TechNet forums, if you're still using those to get answers to questions and stuff, you'll get a bit of a higher level support there. A free phone support incident for Azure or on-prem products. So if you're having problems, you can actually call somebody, speak to somebody, and get a resolution eventually as well. A free exam voucher and extended trials of the Enterprise Mobility Suite, which Simon will be pleased about, and Office 365. So two very important and cool cloud technologies there. So Azure credits, EMS time, extended time beyond the normal trial length, and Office 365 extended trial as well. So that's pretty awesome. Bearing in mind, it's a free thing that you can just sign up for. You know, no cost.
Yeah, seems like a no-brainer to me.
Exactly. And once you've got that more experience, you might want to continue your certification path. You might want to learn more in a formal way around certifying yourself for these cloud technologies. So an additional program, again, another free one, is the Microsoft IT Pro Career Center. And I'll provide all the links for these in the show notes, so you'll have access to them. Don't worry, I have to try and remember all of these. But it enables you to map your IT cloud roles. If you want to transition to becoming this more cloud admin-like employee of your company, where you're administering all of these different services across Azure, EMS, and Office 365, there's great learning curriculums, there's great insights, great advice, and training materials. And also in terms of what cloud roles are in demand, their salary ranges, there's loads of stuff that's explained on this blog post and a Microsoft Mechanics video as well that you can use to explain a little bit more. Probably does a better job than I did for explaining it. But again, two free things. Everyone loves free. Great resources to get started in the cloud. Now, the other thing that I wanted to talk about in Azure, and it was announced just a few days back, the Azure Container Service, which we talked about a couple of episodes ago, an Azure service that's enabling you to scale out and quickly accelerate your deployment of containers in Azure. That's now generally available. It was in preview for a while, but the blog post that I'll link to talks about the announcement of it being generally available and supported for production workloads. And what's cool about this is it's an extremely fast way to get started with deploying containers. Normally, if you think about on-prem, you'd stand up container hosts yourself, you'd then deploy containers into them. You may do the same in Azure by manually deploying a VM that's container enabled and start deploying containers in there. With the container service, all of that plumbing is done for you. So you simply choose your automation mechanism, for want of a better term, and there are two, and they're very open source themed and using open source technology. So the first is in partnership with Mesosphere specifically to bring their DC/OS, I'll call it DCOS, to the Azure service to you guys. So essentially what that means is the first one with DCOS, when you start to utilize this technology, it will deploy in a high availability form, so you're essentially got scalable and reliable and robust and resilient container infrastructure to run your containers. So it runs Marathon as an active passive cluster, maximum uptime, which is important. There's loads of health checking metrics, event subscriptions, app groups and dependencies, rolling upgrades to zero downtime of the infrastructure, UI, REST API as well. So there's loads of stuff there that you can use specifically with the Mesosphere, DCOS, and the Azure Container Service. That's option one for deployment. The second is using Docker Swarm, which many of you have heard us mention Docker. Oz has mentioned it multiple times. I've mentioned it as a way we're managing containers on-prem with Windows Server. But Docker Swarm enables you to scale out your Docker infrastructure, your container infrastructure, and really give yourselves a, again, high availability, scalable platform.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, it's doing all sorts.
Uh-oh. You got a cow and an alarm.
Hello.
Stop it. Make it stop.
The cow has been arrested. I don't know what's going on here. And it took me ages to press it. So Docker Swarm is the alternative. I'll give it a little bit more insight as well. Great orchestration at scale. Constraints, again, around deployments. You can start to lock down how you deploy. Lots of APIs as well.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, it's an optional thing, right? I mean, but if you want to have those native Docker commands to be able to run against the cluster, then that really helps you to, you know, have that benefit that's there.
Yeah,
I think one of the other big things, right, is the for this solution is the fact that, you know, it's an open source modular kind of solution, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so some of the other competition out there has very like, you know, you do that and that's how it's going to be, right? And it just does magic behind the scenes, whereas we're providing you a lot of the that data there for you.
Well, the blog post actually right. calls out the Azure Container Service is built on 100%, can't get better than 100%, open source software to maximize portability of workloads and offers choice among the popular orchestration engines, DCOS and Docker Swarm. So you're definitely not locked in if you did want to start on this path and then switch to an on-prem infrastructure powered by the same kind of technology. Yep. It's just really very flexible.
Absolutely.
So cool stuff. So anyway, all the links will be in the notes. That's my five on Azure. I didn't think it would last five, but obviously I just waffled. But there you go. Loads of cool stuff. Let me bring up the timer again.
Give me 5 minutes.
I'm going into tablet mode.
Okay.
Tablet mode has removed all the icons now. So I'm going out of tablet mode, and I'm going to find the timer. So 5 minutes up.
All right.
Ready?
Yep, do it. All right. So continuing on with the ACS announcement, there is a new article, a new video, I should say, with Mark Rusinovich on introduction to microservices. And there is sometimes a little bit of confusion on containers and microservices. They are not the same thing. Mm-hmm. However, I will say that those two things go well together. So this article, or this video, I should say, does give you a breakdown of kind of what is a microservice, and how should I be thinking about these types of things in the future, right? Mm. So as an IT pro or as an ops person, I think it's really good to understand the architecture there, because when you move forward in a DevOps world, you really want to have a very loosely coupled architecture. And so I think just the industry in general is really moving towards this direction, you know, containerization and microservices. Because that really enables a lot of, you know, flexibility in deployments, right? And a lot of the other DevOps practices become much easier versus big old monolith code base that has, you know, 20 dependencies and takes a whole team of people to try and get a release out the door versus like, hey, I release this chunk of functionality and my team owns that chunk of functionality end to end, right?
Yeah.
So it's definitely a thing that you need to be familiar with as an ops person in general. So
and this guy Rusinovich, he knows what he's talking.
He knows. He kind of knows a couple things.
Yeah.
So you should check that article.
Maybe he
out.
Should get. He should go for Rick's job. He'd fit right in on the ops team, I think.
Yeah,
he'd be pretty good.
Yeah, he could. Yeah. He could
I mean, keeping him to 5 minutes may be a challenge, but I think
we would
get our viewership would go through the roof.
Yeah, might be.
So, in that actual blog, in the video link actually underneath, there's a really good blog post that we'll link to as well, so you'll have both. But that actually details and starts to build on what you were saying around how you can start to componentize applications into these very, in some cases, very, very small building blocks that ultimately make up the web front end or the back end tier or the middle tier or whatever it may be for your app. So yeah, very cool.
Okay, so next up on the list, we have a new DevOps Dimension episode focused on mobile DevOps. So we did an interview with the two folks, one from the iOS team, as well as another guy who was on the Android Next Lock team. And those guys actually were a big help for me in the presentation I did at Mobile Delivery Days, which is also now online, so kind of a joint news announcement here. So,
just
you know,
one
so,
after another.
Yeah,
after another.
I know.
So beautifully linked.
I know. So so it's really good, you know, in the DevOps Dimension episode, we talk about how they do kind of some more of the end-to-end practices. So kind of like continuous integration, deployment, testing, like with mobile apps, right? So whether you're doing Android or iOS or whatever, just how do you think about things and what were the trade-offs on, like, when we used to not do continuous integration, here's what it was like, or, you know, here's why you should consider doing things a certain way with your kind of whole deployment pipeline and things like that.
I actually watched some of that, and the OneDrive guy was very interesting around how they react to things like reviews now and stuff. He was mentioning how they take feedback from the store and how emails flooded his inbox and how they adapted their approach very quickly. And it just shows that the way people are developing applications now for mobile specifically in this example, very different.
Yeah.
Very quick.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. We dive, you know, in the Mobile Delivery Days, we dive a whole 30 minutes into just the experimentation and instrumentation side. So we go even deeper in that angle. We cover kind of broader in this episode.
Nice.
But next up, we have just some new, like, kind of roadmap stuff for Visual Studio Team Services. We have a new April 13 release. A bunch of different features there that are released to the service. A cool one that I thought, I mean, there's a bunch of things here which I don't have time for, but one I thought was kind of interesting was it was a real-time Kanban board. So if you're really, you know, ops or dev, like, and you're using Kanban, we now have the ability, and this was per a user voice feedback item we actually completed, was we, you know, people are moving their cards and their work items and their statuses. Like, you could literally have VSTS up there, your Kanban dashboard, and, like, you know, have it real-time mode there, and it's moving and dynamically kind of seeing, so you can always see kind of where you can always see where your hands you just mind control it
on,
mind control and Kanban. Maybe that's another user voice item, but not the, you
know, Kanban for HoloLens.
Yeah,
it could be everywhere.
That's right. You always know what everything's going
everything.
On.
Everything. You've got your Kanban board
you
everywhere
it,
you go.
You think it, and it will happen, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. Anyway. So So check out the release there.
You see.
Oh, I got one. Come on.
Go on, go on, one
so,
more.
So one more quick one.
One more because you turned up.
Yeah.
And you're on time.
Yeah.
I mean, you weren't on time.
Yeah. So there is also a futures planning update for the next half for release management. And this is extremely important for ops people because we're talking about a lot of different things. One of the big ones is deploying releases to multiple machines. You know, deploying Linux things to Linux and traceability of all the way into your end node machines is like one of the big things they're kind of trying to focus on. There's a lot of stuff in the article. That's one of them. I know that some folks who are wanting to do some more advanced things and integrations, we're opening up the REST APIs and service hooks. So that'll really light up a lot of other opportunities to try and make connections to the release management pipeline. So that's it.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's your five.
That's it. Yep.
Cool. Good stuff. So again, all the links will be in the show notes, so you'll be able to access all of that stuff that David talked about. The microservices stuff, very cool. Even if you are more on the ops side and you think, well, that's for my devs, definitely worth checking out just to understand the changes that are taking place and how you can provide a better infrastructure for developers to run this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, an evolved kind of ops person is going to have a better understanding of the underlying architecture. You don't need to be a microservices dev, but you at least need to know how to, you know, work with it in a more advanced way with DevOps practices and things of that nature. And I mean, I think containers, right? I mean, it's becoming already the new virtual machine, right? Like, virtualization is just there, right? It just, people expect it. I think containers is where we're on that path, right?
We'll see.
I don't know.
I still love virtual machines. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens on that one.
Just like people who love their physical bare metal servers, right?
I'm going to hug these each individually when we go back. And in case for you.
I see a tear starting to come out there?
Yes. No, it's the aircon. It's very cold in the station. It's freezing as it leaves my face. Right. So the final one, on-prem stuff, which is obviously the one you've all been waiting for, let's be honest. So let me start my 5 minutes. Oh, no, where's my timer? Oh, here we go. 5 minutes before we hear the cow and the air horn. There we go. So, on-prem stuff. The first thing I wanted to talk about is to draw your attention to a new series that we've been doing, a 10-parter on 10 reasons you'll love Windows Server 2016. And this was a project that we thought of, let's do this a couple of weeks ago. Let's kick this off. Let's do 10 reasons with interviewing the engineers who are building each of these areas of Windows Server. So we've had an interview with the guys from AD, with server management, with PowerShell, what else? Remote desktop services, compute, so Hyper-V, storage, networking, containers, security, and nano server. So 10 areas. I think I got all 10 there. There might be one different. I'll give you the links anyway. But what's been really nice about that series is the chance to meet the engineers who are working on this stuff, who perhaps don't normally, you would never necessarily get to hear from. You know, occasionally you can, but the nice thing about that is you're hearing from the engineers. It's a really cool way to learn a little bit more about Windows Server and each of them. And by the end, you'll have a great appreciation for those 10 reasons. And there's more than 10, but those 10 were the ones that we thought you should really know about. There's some really cool stuff there. And it's on the Windows Server blog, and it's on Channel 9, the actual videos as well. So great stuff there. In addition to that, we have two new channels on Channel 9. One for Azure Stack, where you can get loads of Azure Stack related content. So cool stuff there around deployment, around learning more about how Linux can be deployed on Azure Stack. So lots of cool tutorials and things on there. More and more content coming soon as well. And obviously the Windows Server channel has got loads of stuff on, as well as these 10 reasons to love Windows Server videos. So I'll provide links to those two new channels, definitely worth checking out and adding to your feeds and stuff. We generally tweet when we announce a new episode or a new video, so definitely worth checking out. Now, the other area that I really wanted to talk about and really wrap up with is a new Microsoft Virtual Academy. Now, for hybrid IT management. A couple of months back, in fact, back in 2015, the tail end of 2015, we released the first part of what will be a multi-part ongoing series of Microsoft Virtual Academy training courses, the first one being focused on hybrid IT management, specifically analytics, insights, and visibility. So really looking at the operations management suite for monitoring, for analyzing your logs that you upload to the cloud service, providing additional security and threat detection and so on. So that's been on MVA for a while. But in the last couple of weeks, we just released a new second part to the overall series, focused this time on cloud-enabled protection. So we're essentially looking at the key buckets that OMS as a suite provides. And because it's a cloud service, new things are always getting added, and that's why we see these parts being added as we go forward as well. It's not going to be a finite series. So part two, cloud-enabled protection. The first half of the course is all focused on backup, so Azure backup and utilizing Azure backup to protect on-prem resources, Azure IaaS resources and data in the cloud already. So great intro to the service. We show lots of demos, lots of discussion as well with the guys. And the guys who are building this stuff, they're based in India. They were over for filming in the studio. Very insightful and great to understand just what technology is going on into Azure backup. The second half of the course is all about Azure site recovery. So again, great stuff with what's going on there to and all the scenarios we cover, replication recovery between your data centers, between on-premises and Azure for both Hyper-V, physical, and VMware-based infrastructure as well. So again, we go through a deep dive of all of that stuff. So very, very cool. So that's my on-prem news this week. I think some of it is linked in with hybrid. So around the container service we talked about before, obviously we've got some cool container stuff happening on-prem and more to discuss in the coming weeks for that. But I'm going to actually save a little bit of time.
There you go.
1 minute, boom, no cow, no air horn. That was my on-prem news. I'll provide all the links for that in the show notes as well. The only thing left to do to wrap up the show is check the Twitters. I haven't had many comments this week, actually. Not too much chatter, but we have increased our followers now. 265.
Woo!
Boom.
All right.
Tell your friends, tell your family, anybody. Tell Lady Gaga, Ashton Kutcher, anybody who has a large following, just come over to the Ops team. Yeah, it's great. So nothing else from me. We shall see you again next week. Anything else from you?
I don't think so. Yeah, no. You can reach me at DTZAR.
Good point. I forgot about that. At Matt McSpirit. Simon is at Simonster. For O's, we'll put it in the links. His is too hard to pronounce. And at the Ops team, obviously. And if you want to email us, it's theopsteam@microsoft.com. So stay tuned for future episodes. We'll look forward to seeing you in episode 20, I guess.
Yeah.
See you later.